Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim, Jamal, and Zaylor back on the line. And as always, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening with us. I know the East Coast listeners are getting pounded by rain right now. So, hey, guys, try to stay dry and do the best you can to ride out that that storm that's, I don't want to say heading your way, because apparently it's already there. So do what you got to do. Just stay safe. Let's go from there. Okay, Jamal, say hello to everybody today.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody.
And Zaylor, are you there?
Hello, hello, everyone. Yeah. Welcome, welcome.
There you go.
And welcome back, football.
Is that back? Yeah. I saw the preseason.
Yeah, it's
in preseason.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, what's happening to your boy Dak, man? Every time you turn around, man, that guy is out. He's not going to be able to play the preseason or nothing now.
Man, that's a lot of money spent, man.
Well,
have they found your team a name yet?
Man, don't go there.
I'm just asking.
They're talking about the Washington presidents. They're talking about the Washington gladiators or something.
I thought they was naming them the Washington Trumps.
You know, so, well, he's not in office right now. More appropriately, probably be named the Washington Bidens, because they're going to have another losing season. So I'm sure he can relate to that. But at any rate, I can't miss it. Well, you brought it up, man. I had to say something. You know, couldn't just let it go like that. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why we're not showing up on here like that.
But why are you doing that, man? Let me put my shout outs and my blast while you're getting yourself together over there, man. I want to send a couple shout outs. I want to send a shout out to you, Mr. Potts.
Mm.
On the success your book has been having. Was it number one on Amazon?
Number one.
Number one on Amazon. Thanks for everybody, you know, for the support. It's also a great Christmas gift that you can buy early. And while the prices, before the prices go up on it. And I also want to send a special shout out, man, for all the Ohio State Buckeye fans. CJ Stroud, the kid that's been named quarterback. He's only a sophomore. This kid is very special to me. I was his O-lineman coach when he was in youth football. So to see him as now a Heisman candidate, that means a lot to me, you know. So, and like I said, he's only that good because I had coached the line in front of him to protect him. So shout out to CJ. Also, shout out to DJ Ugalele, who's also the quarterback at Clemson, who's also a Heisman candidate. I used to work with his father doing security back in the day. So it's a real special thing to see these kids grow up. And even one made it to the NFL that I used to coach. So it seems like I'm giving myself a lot of kudos. I'm not really.
Sounds like it. Jamal, you're proud. I mean, look.
I'm proud of these kids.
Yeah,
I really am.
You helped them develop and everything.
I really am.
So that's all good.
My blast of the week, man. It goes out to former Sheriff Morgan. Escambia County down in Florida. What did he do? Well, before his term was up, this man spent $75,000 of taxpayer money to make a bronze statue of himself. What a guy, man. Only in Florida, man. But
wow.
Apparently he was kind enough to pay $37,000 of it back. Where he got that from, I didn't know. I didn't know they pay that much. But,
yeah, he probably paid it back because somebody jammed him up and talked about the fact there was some kind of conflict and that he better do something.
Man.
It's probably what happened, but what the heck?
Hey, man, good idea. If I had the opportunity, you know, I'm thinking about doing that at the office, man, putting a bronze statue of myself.
Go ahead. And that night when you go home, it'll be removed. Today we're going to be talking about Jamal jumped ahead. Well, he didn't jump ahead. He gave me a little time to take care of this little technical thing here that I got straightened out. Today we're going to be talking about the serial killers and sexual predators and their profiles, to finish up with that for last week. And in addition to that, we're going to be talking about safety practices for teenagers from a parent's perspective and also from the teenage perspective as well. So, again, good information. I do have one shout-out. Jamal was talking about my book. Let me just tell you that this week I want to send out a shout-out to Alex, and I hope I don't mess up his name, Luzuk, of Southside Broadcasting. And also Graham Harper. he's an award-winning director. Both of them are in England. So they actually interviewed me from across the pond this past Tuesday. I was the author of the week over there. So to know that the book, Jamal, is on an international front is great, that they picked up on it, saw it, and had a Zoom meeting with me for 30 minutes. So it is on Twitter, where you can go and find the link as well. Okay? So let me move this a little closer, too. I realize I might be a little bit far back. So at any rate, so I wanted to send a shout-out to them. So I really do appreciate it. And again, he's with Southside Broadcasting. So I was very happy with that. It was about a 30-minute interview. If you have a chance, check it out. Busy with these emails. Now, Jim, and this is why I said a few minutes ago that, you know, so many other things we're going to be talking about other than politics, but the emails really do encompass a lot of that. We do have one comment about the Washington Redskins for somebody out of Florida.
The who?
Oh, yeah, you heard what I said. The Washington Redskins. I haven't changed the name yet.
Okay.
At any rate, the Washington no name is what somebody is suggesting. So I don't know. At any rate, Jim, Biden ran for office and said that he would restore our image to the world. His poor decision on Afghanistan is not only embarrassing, but has viewed him and the United States as cowards who have left our people and allies in danger. The English Parliament has deemed his actions as shameful and has held him in contempt. He needs to resign or be impeached. Jason, a veteran. Jason, let me just tell you something. I don't necessarily agree with how Biden may have done it. It's not easy making these types of decisions, and they'll always be, you know, put up to, you know, to criticism, unless things always go perfectly. I don't disagree with you in terms of how he did it. I don't agree with that. I think it could have been done a little bit more orderly. But this business about the fact that he needs to resign or be impeached, look, you got to understand something. He's president of the United States. He was voted in legitimately. Saying that he should resign behind this misstep, so to speak, you know, in one opinion or many opinions, not necessarily his, of course, but that's okay. But to say that a president under these circumstances should resign, we'd have situations with every president that's in office that has to resign because the general public may feel that they made an incorrect decision. So I don't agree with that. And I also don't agree about the impeachment portion as well. I think that our time to be able to deal with these types of issues is at it's when it's time to vote. If you don't like what he did, then what happens is if he runs for re-election, then you just simply don't vote for him. And that's what it is. But impeachment of presidents is not, to me, a good thing. Didn't like it during the last administration. I thought that was the ridiculous farce as well. But no, we cannot do that. Zayla, you first. Any comments on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it would have to rise to the level of a high crime and misdemeanor, and I don't see that being the case when, you know, presidents have, you know, pretty much unfettered control as it relates to international matters and affairs in regards to drawing down folks in regards to this. And as Biden indicated, this was a commitment that was made by the prior administration, and we talked about this last week. No matter what time we left, whether it's 6 months from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, I can assure you the same situation was going to happen. This is what happens when you're, you know, in a 20-year war. It's never easy to disengage.
It's never easy. So, again, I'm not necessarily a big Biden fan. I don't agree with everything that he's done or not done, but I'm not going to just say throw the man to the wolves with an impeachment. Or the fact that he resigned. Of course, we're already getting some emails about it. One person says, impeach or resign, spare me the BS. Okay. Well, you know, again, obviously that's a Biden supporter, so that's okay too. Jamal, comments?
Yeah, you know, the person that wrote that, he's a veteran, so I want to say salute to the veterans and think his opinion weighs heavier than mine. However, the only part of the statement I really didn't like is that he said it makes us look like cowards. We can't look like cowards when we was there for 20 years. And when we went out to, we set out to go get bin Laden, and we did that. If anybody should be considered cowards, is the ones who didn't stand there and defend their own country and took off running and let it be taken over within days. That's who, to me, you know, if anybody, you know, but I wasn't there, so.
Okay. We need to be a little clear on that. Let me tell you why. Because they came out and said that there are Afghan fighting units that are fighting.
I just said it. Yeah.
I'm just clarifying so right. people don't think we think that about all right. of the soldiers, right. Afghan soldiers. No, there are ones that are fighting.
No, there's some tough people over there. You know, so I'm not trying to put them on blast, but.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. And I think the part about the cowards, quite frankly, I think that piece came about because they're saying that they're not letting our soldiers, okay, go out to go find the Americans. Okay. And right. I think Biden clarified that, the fact that, well, when you, or I don't know if it was Biden or one of the other individuals that were speaking, because he doesn't speak on it as much as the other, these other two guys, I forget their names, but at any rate, that the issue is, if once you go out and start engaging to go get these people, you might end up in a situation where shots get fired. So they're not sending them out, okay, because they don't want them necessarily to get into a conflict with the Taliban.
Right.
England is not happy. France is not happy. There's a number of countries that are not happy because their allies, they were our allies, and they were left in a lurch. And now, but they are going out searching for their people.
Right.
So the issue about the coward, I think, is what he's alluding to, is the fact that we're holding our soldiers back while these other nations are actually sending their soldiers out to go get, you know. I just think that that's a strategy. I don't think that that makes us a coward. I want to make that clear. So, Jason, I don't agree with everything that you have here, but I will say that I do agree with you. I don't necessarily like how it was done. But I do support a decision for us to get out of Afghanistan. So I think I said that last week, and that's how I feel about it. So, okay, let's move on. Before I forget, in case I didn't say it, the link is on Twitter. So for those of you that are following me at Jim Potts, author, the link to that interview across the pond, so to speak, is on my Twitter. So if you're not on my Twitter, please get on my Twitter so you can follow me there. But that's where you'll find the link, to make a long story short. Okay, Jim, thank you for the serial killer information and safety tips last week. With all that is going on in the country, we forget some of the issues that may confront us. Sexual predators do not take breaks, and it was good to be reminded. Thanks again, Jill from Phoenix, Arizona. Well, Jill, listen, we do try to do that. I think that those are important messages for everybody. We're going to continue along with those thoughts today and talk about teenagers, et cetera, safety, and some of the information profiling serial killers, et cetera. And it's not just serial killers, it's sexual predators in general, because there are a lot of them that are out there. And our teenagers need to be careful with this business on the Internet.
Did you see the Richard Ramirez documentary on Netflix?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I watched it, man. I could not sleep that night, man.
You were afraid he was going to come after you?
Man, the air conditioner kept blowing my blinds, and I kept hearing that noise. I kept waking up ready to fight.
You know, I think you're pretty much safe. Richard Ramirez is not looking for you, I can tell you. Okay, Jim. Oh, I'm sorry, I just got that one. So let's get to the third one. Jim, the FBI just released a report based on an investigation of January 6th. They found that the violence was not centrally coordinated, and 95% of the participants arrested, there was 570 of them, were simply individuals. They did not find cells of protesters before the incident, where they talked about going into the Capitol and had no plan of what to do once they got inside. This had nothing to do with Trump. No charges have been filed for sedition. So much for an insurrection. It wasn't. Sally from Wichita, Kansas. Okay, Sally, let's just clarify a couple of things, Sally, okay? Number one, I did my research based upon this email here. What I did find is that a list of all of the people that were charged, literally every single person that was charged in January 6th. The FBI report, Sally, did state that there were cells. There were cells from the Proud Boys where they got on before January 6th and said something to the effect of, you know, let's storm into the Capitol. All right. So there are things that the FBI did find on the chatter on the Internet. But none of that was associated back to Trump, is what I think that you're trying to say. His words, you know, the people say that he inspired these people. Well, apparently the FBI is saying that there were individuals beforehand that had absolutely nothing to do with anything that he said on that particular day. I'm not justifying any of their actions, just clarifying it. The other thing is they keep calling it insurrection, but let me just tell you that I read it. Nobody has been charged for sedition, like you said. Nobody has been charged for treason or any of those things. What they have done, and no felonies were filed as well. Every one of these individuals, from what I saw and read, were charged with low-level misdemeanors, things like trespassing, not leaving, not following the commands of the officers, and things of that level. That's where all of these things are really it's really going. And let's keep in mind, it's a federal enclave. It's not like a state. So this is federal. So these individuals can be charged with this because they were on government property and they didn't leave when they were supposed to. These are all low-level misdemeanors. And a misdemeanor, just to be clear, Sally, the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony is that the it's less than a year in jail, $500 fine or more, or both. And a felony is a year in jail or more. And all of these individuals are being charged with a misdemeanor. All right. Only 40 were charged with conspiracy because they were talking about conspiring to go in. So 40 of them were charged. But again, that's going to be a misdemeanor and not a felony. So part of what you're saying is correct. But I wanted to clarify that. Jamal?
Yeah. Well, you know, the fact that that large crowd was there based on a lie saying that the election was stolen, somebody lit the fire for this crowd and made a lot of statements based on this group of people's emotions. I don't know what more people want. I could just imagine if another group was there, such as BLM, yelling, "Let's kill Mike Pence or hang Mike Pence outside with a guillotine," I would imagine there would have been a lot of gunshots out there. I don't know, just my opinion. So if you don't want to call it an insurrection, call it what you want. I don't know what else you can call it, whatever. You know, I'm just saying this was ridiculous. And I know you're not saying it wasn't ridiculous, but everything, this whole thing happened based on a lie saying that the election was stolen. That's the problem that I have with this.
Well, Hillary came out and did the same thing, but I know she later recanted it, so I get that. I don't think Trump has ever done that. I told you, I don't agree with Trump with all of that, but he is who he is. Zeller, you want to weigh in?
Z, did we hang him up?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
no, I was just saying I agree with everything that Jamal was saying. I was just surprised that the lady that stole Nancy Pelosi's laptop only got charged with a misdemeanor. That seems strange to me. Especially given the value of a laptop computer and all the secrets and stuff, government records and stuff that could be on it. But I know that you're the one that looked into all the charges, Jim. So,
well, let's look at it this way. Okay, I'm depending on the FBI report. FBI report is not saying or calling it an insurrection. Okay, and they gave their rationale for that. The FBI is not under Trump control. Okay, the Democrats are the ones in office. They came out with the report, and that's all that I'm relying on. I'm not justifying anybody's actions, just to make it clear, okay, and about individual situations, if somebody stole a laptop or they did this or they did that. Okay, I think those things are wrong. I'm not going to stand by any of that. I'm not going to stand by the fact that they even went into the Capitol, quite frankly. I don't agree with that. All of that, to me, is wrong. All I'm saying is that to call it an insurrection, I would say that anybody that thinks it's an insurrection needs to do a little research to understand what an insurrection is. Because an insurrection, as being a history major in college, insurrections are when people have, you know, collectively, not just mass crowds are walking into a place, when they collectively decide that they're going to take over a government and they're going to go in, here's who's going to be in charge, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and end of story. That's the way that it works. It's not just a crowd going into a building. I think it's wrong that they did that. I want to make that clear.
You know, they literally had to shoot. They literally had to shoot and kill somebody in order to stop that crowd from advancing. I don't know what would have happened if they didn't take that shot and kill somebody when they're screaming about killing Mike Pence. And matter of fact, 45 didn't even call him to check on him to see how he was doing after that. I don't know, man. There's a lot of brainwashing activity going on with me and this.
Well, first of all, there was nothing in there about guns, Jamal. Nobody walked into that Capitol with a gun. The only people that had the guns was the Capitol police officer who's been exonerated in that shooting. They have a job to do, okay? And in my opinion, as police officers, if they felt there was a danger in any respect, okay? And remember, one person, Jamal, okay, that lady got killed out of San Diego, okay?
Right.
But I'm saying that's one person. Nobody had a gun that walked into there. Insurrection, you normally have guns. Okay, nobody had any guns. I'm sorry, Zayla, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to go by the definition that you've outlined for insurrection, because with me reviewing the definition as outlined by Merriam-Webster, which everybody seems to use, it's not as you've outlined it, where there has to be a collective group of people. It's an act or instance of revolting against civil authority or an established government. Very simple, very succinct definition. And were people there going over there trying to stop, you know, Congress from voting and certifying, you know, the election? The answer is yes. So I'm not sure how we can't just call it what it is. Does it have to be a group of 100 or 500 people pre-planning and getting together for an insurrection? Remember, Trump told them to be there, and he told them to go to the Capitol. So, you know, you can't just say that, you know, he has no responsibility in regards to what happened.
I don't remember those words coming out of my mouth.
He didn't specifically tell them to break windows and go in there. He said, you know, this can't be done peacefully. You have to fight, is what he said. You have to fight.
Oh, did you read his whole speech that day?
I watched the whole speech, Jim, yes, multiple times.
And you heard him say, you did not hear him say in all of those speeches, that speech he gave that day, to be peaceful. You did not hear him say that.
Jim, let's not defer back to Trump when we were talking about the definition of insurrection. That's what you've kind of been focusing on with this?
The definition of insurrection, I've outlined it. You said his whole speech.
And I think Jamal agrees with me. Everybody has their opinion.
Jamal agrees with you on everything. I think about 95%.
On everything.
You know,
wow.
I said 95%. I'm not true. Zayla, when I'm talking about insurrections, I preface it by saying that I was a history major. I'm talking about from an historical perspective. Normally, insurrections are done not like that, okay? I understand what Merriam-Webster has, okay? So that's the perspective I was coming from. But at any rate, look. We're obviously never going to agree on this. The American people are never going to agree on this. So we're just going to go ahead and move on. You know, you and Jamal will always swear it's an insurrection. I'll always say it wasn't an insurrection. But I'm going to rely on the people that have actually done an investigation, which was the FBI. And the FBI, based on their investigation, are not determining this to be that. That's all I'm saying. And that's not what Trump...
But was that one of the... Really quick, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But was that one of the questions that they were posed to answer? Was that a specific question? Is this an insurrection? Was that one of the questions that they had to determine based on their investigation?
Well, as I understood it from what I read, they alluded to that effect. I'm going to see if I can get the whole report. I'm going to use my channels and see if I can get it.
You got contact.
But, you know, so that'll be interesting. But either way, if it's an insurrection, I will go back to the same thing. None of these people were charged with treason. None of these people were charged with sedition. Low-level misdemeanors and trespassing. Now, the Democrats are the ones in charge. You mean to tell me that they would not have filed and made sure that these people were charged with sedition, or that they were charged with treason? They're not even addressing these issues, and that's for a reason. But anyway, look, again, we can go round and round about this. We agree to disagree, at least for the moment. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right.
Except I'm going to disagree with you saying I agree with Zayla on most of the things.
I said 95%, Jamal. That left 5%.
That's most.
You know, that leaves 5%. Let's get back to the serial killers from last week, you guys, because I wanted to finish up about the serial killer. So one of the things that I wanted to mention is about the serial killers and, you know, what they do. With their victims, rape, believe it or not, rape, you guys, 93.9% of the victims are raped. Now, that's very interesting, okay? Don't know why they're that way, but that's what they do. In my book, I can tell you that the serial killer that I represented, that's exactly what he did. I don't know what it is with some of these people with this, but that's part of it. Now, 79% of serial killers, non-military, have never been in the military. But they do have 21% that have been in the military. Let me keep moving on some other stats. The number of serial killers around the world, the United States has, and this is since they started tracking serial killers, which was, I think, the early 1900s, a little bit before that, 3,204 okay? 3,204 serial killers. The next closest country, what do you think is the next closest country, guys, to us?
England.
Very good, Jamal. Mm. It is England. And how many do you think they had?
1,000.
166.
Oh, wow.
So the United States got 3,200.
Well, we got to be better than everybody else, don't we?
And England only had 166. I wonder if Jack the Ripper was in there, but I don't think he was a rapist. He was just a murderer. Next to that, third, I'm only going to give the top three. Well, no, top four. South Africa, 117. And then Canada, 106. So look at our numbers, and you have to wonder why so many here. Is it because of the freedoms that we have? I mean, what is it that makes and inspires more serial killers here by these numbers than any other country?
Do we have a bigger population?
Well, that's part of it, but 3,000 versus 166,
right.
You know, that's a lot. Now, characteristics of the victims, listen to this. Zayla, tell me, what do you think? Okay, it's just a guess, okay, but in terms of the victims, do you think there's a higher percentage of black victims or white victims?
For serial killers?
Right.
I'd say white victim.
You're right. 6,678, okay, they say of white victims. Black victims, 2,345. And these numbers, when you look at these, because it says characteristics of the victims, we're talking about the victims now. Hispanics, 670, Asian, 166, Native Americans, 48. So Caucasians. Then you have to look at the breakdown between females and males, because you would think that if rape is involved, we'll say that it has to do with females. So Jamal, what do you think the number is on that? Do you think more women are victims or more males?
I would say it's probably 50-50. And the reason why I'm saying that, because you think about the children that are also abducted and killed and unfortunate.
Jamal, I'm thoroughly impressed. I got to tell you, it's almost 50-50. White females, 3,646. White males, 3,000. That's pretty good.
I didn't want to tell you, man, but I'm auditioning for Jeopardy, man, in a couple weeks.
They wait for the host position.
They won't be asking you that question, I can tell you. No, that's pretty good, actually, Jamal. That's really good. But yeah, I'll go a second here. So, with that in mind, let's look at another stat here. What do you think on the females and blacks? What do you think the black females and black males? What do you think the percentages?
I would say
more. I thought this is Zayla. I'm sorry, Zayla. Black females to black males. What do you think?
The victims?
Yeah.
Female. Black female.
What do you think the percentage is?
I'd say it's disproportionately higher than their representation in the population. So, like maybe 25%?
Believe it or not, it's almost dead even. Black females, 1172. Oh. Black males, 1160.
Wow.
I mean, that's close. That's close.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, so that's something that people don't think about with some of these things. These serial killers, I'm telling you. I want to mention that, and we're getting ready to talk about the teenagers and things of that nature as well. Look, the serial killer that I had interaction with, that's what he preyed on. The youngest girl was 9 years old. The oldest one was 22. But this one in 22 was in Nevada. And the one with, and the rest of them were all here in California. So all of them, okay, that he abducted were, in my opinion, not thinking about safety. So, you know, one was a hitchhiker. The little girl was upset because she wanted to leave. The pool had an argument with her older sibling. This guy saw her, kind of called her over, said he'd give her a ride home. Women, every one of these, the women got in the car how do I want to put this? They got in the car of their own free will, with the exception of one, and that was the one that was in Nevada. But then she was 22 years old, and it was a dark parking lot. It was like, right. Heck no, you know. But he forced her in there at gunpoint. And but all the rest of them, literally, hitchhiking, or, you know, he picked them up, and, you know, and that's how they got themselves in trouble. You know, parents, you know, try to talk to their children. And I'm going to preface this before we get into the other pieces of this. But, you know, teenagers don't always listen to their parents. Now, Jamal, you know, okay, we had conversations when you were younger. They don't always listen. Hold on a second. We got let's see. One person said, Jim, recently it was announced that Apple will be scanning all iPhones for child pornography. Well, I'm opposed to child pornography in any form. Is this not invasion of and privacy of sorts? Well, you know what? To answer your question real quick, you know, arguably that could be an invasion of privacy. But let me just tell you something. Things like that are overlooked when it comes to children. I'll tell you right now, they will do it. The parents will agree to it. Minors can't object to it because they can't sue. And parents are probably, for the most part, not going to object to somebody cross-checking to make sure this is happening. When things, when it comes with the children, you're gonna see some leeway with that under those circumstances.
I have an issue with that, and I'm going to tell you why. My son, my oldest son, who's now 21, when he was in high school, I literally had a fear of him borrowing my phone. Any phone that he has is also in my name. I don't know what's going on with his phone 100% of the time. And there's some things that I can't prevent. Like, for example, if he has some girlfriend in high school or something like that, she sends him nudes, you know what I mean? And he wants to check his Instagram account on my phone, I can get caught up for that. And I don't even know that he did that, you know? And also, it could be on his phone, but it's under my name, and I could be in trouble for that. So those are the things that that kind of worries me about that.
I don't like, once again, when you look at things like Apple, Facebook, and things of this nature, I think these guys have too much control in the first place.
Yeah.
So I'm not crazy about it, but I'm only answering this person's question.
Right.
That I think, honestly, is what's going to happen. Is that what laws are going to be broken in order to do that? Now, somebody somewhere is going to file a lawsuit. Right. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Zella, what do you think about the comment the person made?
Yeah, it's going to end up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
I mean these are some of the challenging questions that it's like, you know, where is the common good for society and children are. One of the most vulnerable populations that we have, and they can't advocate for themselves, so they need folks to be able to advocate for them. And so if there's a way to be able to do this, it'll end up in court anyway. But Jamal, one thing that I wanted to make sure that I referenced too, and this is something that you had brought up, a lot of these phones back up to the cloud as well. So, you know, if you have a family plan, like you were saying, and, you know, your kids have photos on their phones that back up to the cloud, you know, and there's a sweep in regards to it, like you said, you know, you're the one that could get in trouble, even though you're not the one that have the photos. And
right.
I think kids can have them if they're swapping them with kids. I don't know. And take that as legal advice.
Right. And then on top of that, to get from underneath it, it will cost me thousands upon thousands of dollars that I don't have in legal fees.
And I ain't paying them. I'm telling you that right now.
I wouldn't expect you to. I'm grown.
There it is. Somebody wrote in and said, good point, Jamal. So they like the point that you made about that. Let's get on to the, let me tell you something. The top online threats for teenagers, cyberbullying, which we've heard a lot about, that's number one. All right. A lot of people are against this cyberbullying with these teens and things of that nature. Some teens have actually committed suicide. Sexting, whether sending or receiving photos, Jamal, which is what you were talking about, can lead to a lot of trouble. You know, swapping pictures and things of that nature is problematic. Identity theft, even for teenagers, because teenagers are just getting some of their information. So, you know, in terms of a social security number and some of the other information, and they may be freely giving that information out. Pornography, exposure to pornography, that's a big deal on the internet. And you've got these teenagers that are actually on there, and some of them are advertising and things of that nature. There's guys, you know, young men that are out there on the internet looking for porn, quite frankly. And, when they do that, there are online predators that are looking for them, and they will find them. It's just that simple. The internet is a great tool, as we all know, but it's a very dangerous one as well. Right. You know, so mm-hmm. now we talk
hey,
about.
Hey, Jim, can I make those something else in really quick?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
And there's also the combining of some of them. So, like, you know, sexing and pornography with, like, revenge porn, where, yeah. you know, there may be an individual that sent, you know, nudes or partial nude photos to a person in private, and then there was a relationship, there was a breakup, and then they're over there publicizing those nudes. That's a whole thing where the law is catching up in regards to that type of activity as well.
Well, you guys know we've had clients that have been in those scenarios where an employee of a mm-hmm. client of ours, remember that, Zeller, where... mm-hmm. In fact, you know, there was a breakup, and now the boyfriend was sending this one particular situation. The boyfriend downloaded the pictures and made a bunch of copies and literally drove to the employer's place of business and threw all of the mm-hmm. copies all around in the parking lot for everybody to see, you know, and wow. that's the problem when people... You know, when there's a breakup and that you permitted yourself to be what you thought would be somebody that was going to be trustworthy, but then the relationship ends and, you know, end of story. Let's put it that way. So people do mm-hmm. need to safeguard. But these teenagers, they don't always think about these kind of yeah, things. That was a young adult. That wasn't even a teenager.
Once you post these pictures up on any kind of digital device, just know it's out okay. there.
It's out there. Right. Now, six tips to keep your teen safe online. Number one, here we go again with parents. And this is for the parents, by the way. Communication is the key to keeping your teen safe online and in the real world. Whether your child is in the preteen years or just celebrated their sweet 16, it's never too early or too late to start talking about internet safety. Let your teenager know the online threats you're concerned about and discuss how to steer clear of them. By starting a dialogue about internet safety with your teen, you also pave the way for them to come to you when something strange or scary happens. Okay? So, you know, and as I said earlier, it's hard to talk to teenagers sometimes. Teenagers don't always listen to their parents. You know, when I was being interviewed the other day with the gentleman across the pond, one of the things they asked me when I was coming up was whether or not I had like a mentor or things of that nature. I didn't really talk to my parents about certain things, but there were two people in my life that I was able to go to and talk to that weren't my parents. One was my scoutmaster, and another one was a friend of mine's father who I just had a great relationship. Jamal, you met him. Remember the guy with all the magic? Him, you know. So, you know, there are people that hopefully, even if a parent can't have the conversation, that maybe at least they can encourage them to talk to somebody else that they feel a little bit more comfortable with.
Right.
You know, Jamal, what about ground rules?
There's several ground rules that you could have for your kids. Like one, teach your kids don't share personal information online, including your full name, address, phone number, and social security number. Don't use public Wi-Fi networks. Don't let anyone use your phone, laptop, or tablet. Don't accept friend requests from strangers. Don't open emails from unknown senders. Don't click on links or download anything without first clearing it with an adult. Don't share photos online or through text messages or any other type of digital device.
You know, we had the situation, Zell. I'll give you a chance to weigh in on that if you want to. But remember, another one with a client was the fact that this one lady was having a problem with her cell phone, and one of her coworkers said, oh, I can take care of that for you. And she takes the cell phone from her, and she's working the cell phone. But what did she do? She went to the pictures that were on the cell phone. And this lady had a bunch of personal pictures on her cell phone. And now this person turned around and started showing people pictures of this lady whose cell phone that she had, you know, taken to say that she would help her fix. I mean, you got to be careful with this. And sometimes it's hard to know who you can trust and not trust. Zeller, did you want to weigh in on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, the idea should be that you don't have them and you don't share them, and then you can never have to worry about it. I think you may have said this, you know, even with anything you put in an email, like if you would, you know, be ashamed or embarrassed by having it, you know, printed in the newspaper, even though newspapers aren't, everybody's not reading newspapers anymore. That should be the rule of thumb in regards to that kind of stuff. But people are people, and people are going to still do it.
I got an idea, man. if you guys want to take pictures, man, go back the old school way and get you a Polaroid camera, a roll of film. Do they even have that stuff anymore?
Yeah.
Okay, well, go back to using that, man.
Oh, they can still scan them, Jamal.
Yeah. Well, and some of them will probably take pictures of the Polaroid to send it. That's the picture I took of myself last night. You know, so you're not going to get around the internet and the things that people do sometimes.
Blur your face out, man. Put a mask on.
You know, well, that's true. Well, everybody's wearing one these days, but it seems like. The other thing is that parents, again, this is a message to the parents, keep things out in the open. Computers, laptops, tablets, and phones in a central place in your home where you can monitor activity and enforce some of the boundaries. Now, look, you know what some of these kids are going to say. Oh, you're violating my privacy. You're doing this. You're treating me like a child. Well, they are children, you know, but they teenagers are who they are. You know, they get to a certain point and they're going to start rebelling and saying some of the things that they want to say. But parents, we're talking about their ultimate safety. Now, we're not telling you to be hard and cruel with this. Please, that's not what we're saying, because that could have the opposite effect also. So use some common sense with it from that perspective. But, you know, to be able to monitor some of this stuff is important. And you know what, these kids are home, you know, because of the pandemic and things of that nature. Maybe they're not being, you know, able to go out as much. And I think the schools are back in session, at least in some places, et cetera. So there's a little bit more flexibility there. You know, so they're relying on all of these things, these cell phones. And the other thing, let me ask you guys a question. At what age should a child get a tablet or a cell phone?
What, 3, 4?
3 or 4? You know, 3 or 4?
Kids got tablets these days, man.
Zayla, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is like a lot of times I've seen parents use the tablet as a quasi babysitter, pacifier kind of thingy. And there's, you know, kids aren't getting as much engagement with socializing with other kids because they're in front of a tablet all the time. And it's just easy sometimes. So I don't know.
Well, I just got a text message that says that you should start when they're very, very young. And that's true. Don't start when they're 16. They're not going to listen. You start maybe when they're 3 or 4, 5 or 6, you know, in that area. So I think that was a very good text message. By the way, I also got a text message on the possible Washington football team names, Jamal. Okay, so just to let you know, the Washington Armada, the Washington Brigade, the Washington Commanders, the Washington Defenders, Washington Presidents, and if you're ready for this one, the Washington Red Hogs or Red Wolves. Please, you can't do better than that, for crying out loud.
Hey, man, same team, same colors, same results.
Well, Jamal, I will mention, since you're a New York Giant fan, we did win the division last year.
Oh, my God,
you know,
man.
So let's keep that in mind.
Right, because Philly tanked and decided to get a higher pick.
And not the Giants?
No, we should have won a division.
No, should have. Everybody says that.
Philly decided to tank the game against you guys. So they can get a higher draft pick than us.
And you know that for a fact. You were inside to know that they made that decision. You were in the room.
I had
with
it
them.
Bugged.
You know, you had the room bugged.
Look, you can check media, check the news. Everybody. Yeah. The coach got fired for it.
You know, I don't know about that, Jamal. You know, but the coach got fired for it. Okay, so we won. So why didn't you guys just outright win it? Why did it have to go down to the last game?
We did outright win it until Philly decided to tank because we beat you guys twice last year.
Okay, let's keep moving because the reality is on the record books, it's not going to say that. It's going to say Washington won.
Who's our quarterback this year, you know?
Yeah, Tebow.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear he got cut after the first preseason game? Tebow got cut, man.
Shout out to Tim Tebow, man. You know, don't give up.
They cut him after one preseason game, man.
He didn't pray hard enough.
You know. But look, parents, they actually have a parental control filter to help limit your teen's exposure to inappropriate content. Parental controls can give you a valuable intel on your child's online activities and alert you to a potential red flag. It's called BARC, BARC Parent Control App. So it's something that you could, B-A-R-K, so something that you could take a look at, and hopefully that will give you some guidance. Now, when we start talking about connecting online, stay in the know about your teen's social network profiles, guys. Look at those profiles. Mm-hmm. Tell them you want to be able to look at those profiles. Again, you're invading my privacy. Don't listen to that nonsense, okay? Right. Because all the teenagers do that, you know? make it a prerequisite that you are their first friend that your child adds if they want to download a new social app or network. Okay, again, it's going to depend upon their age. Let's face it, because if they're 16, they ain't going into that, and they're probably going to do whatever they want to do, which means from time to time, you're going to have to monitor that.
I got a suggestion. Let's go back to bikes, scooters, kids sitting on a stoop.
Playing
jacks, hopscotch.
Right. Hopscotch.
All of the above.
Right.
Go outside and go play. How about that?
Yeah, well, you know, Jamal, those days are far behind us, unfortunately.
It's sad because on Christmas, you don't even see kids outside playing no more.
With their new toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because they're all electronics and they're inside their rooms.
Yeah.
Zella, what about signs for troubles? What do you think? How does a parent look for signs of trouble?
I mean, there's a bunch of different signs. I mean, becoming sullen and withdrawn. Self-harm is always an important one to look out for as well. Being secretive in regards to their behavior and hiding their screen and things like that when you come to the room, you know, there may be issues that they may be talking to an adult, right? Those are the things that they have to be aware of and look out for. Creating new email accounts or on different social media profiles and things of that nature. So I like the idea in regards to saying, hey, you want to be on the profile? On a new social media app that the parent has to be the first one to add there. Losing interest in friends and activity and displaying strong emotional responses after going online.
And we know that we're giving this out, you know, so guys, you can always go back and listen to this broadcast, you know, and be able to write some of these things down because we think it's good. Now, from a teen standpoint, so for you teenagers out there or parents, what you could push along to your teenagers is that make sure that they keep their online identity secret. Don't tell anyone your real name and address or even what neighborhood you live in. Okay? Don't do that. You know, sometimes teenagers are just so forgiving and naive with some of this. Don't necessarily give out your real name, your password, your username. Remember, that belongs to you and only you. Mm-hmm. Now, we're telling you that, but remember, your parents are still going to be your parents. And if they want to access some of that, they may put a little pressure on you to know what that is. Just remember, they're the ones paying for it. So they may say, look, I'll cut the internet off. I need to know what this is, you know, or the charge for it. So they may have you divulge that information. Keep something in mind what Jamal said. The internet basically has a great memory. So keep its memory of you clean. That's how people get in trouble later in life. As a teenager, you're doing these different things, but just keep in mind that later on, some of that may come back to haunt you on things that you put there when you were younger. So keep it in mind. You want to get licensed as a physician, licensed as a doctor, licensed as a CPA, maybe be a politician one day, and somebody's bringing this out. So be good online, just like you're supposed to be when you're offline. The other one is, you know, about being extremely careful. Jamal?
Yeah, being extremely careful about meeting someone in person. You know, parents, you guys cannot be this naive, particularly when your kids, son and daughter, are in high school, even junior high school, where these kids get caught up at are drug transactions. Meeting people for drug transactions. Sometimes these other people that look like they're a supplier won't have money. They're just there ready to rob your kid because they know they're coming with money. You guys have to talk to your kids about these kind of scenarios to prevent these situations. I've heard stories where these two teenage boys went to, you know, a trap house. I know it's a little extreme, but they went to a trap house and there was somebody there waiting for them and killed them with an AK-47. And took all the money that they had. These are serious issues. So don't go meet somebody in person.
Well, you have one person that said if your child lives in your house and you pay their phone bills, they have no privacy. You should be all up in their business.
I wasn't going to say this, but I was going to say we could have a whole episode on black parenting tips. Just because of that. That statement right there, all up in your business. Like,
right.
You know?
So you're saying this must have been a brother that said that. Huh? See, I'm getting all kinds of thumbs up on this, you know, on the thing. Also, we got time, guys. The last thing we want to tell you, your parents are ultimately responsible for minors online. So keep that in mind. Your parents are responsible for you. If you're a minor, they can be held accountable. So if you don't want to get your parents in trouble, please adhere to some of these things. And the last point I want to make is that your the things that you do, watch nude photos and things of that nature. And there was another point that I wanted to make, and I turned the page here real quick, and I see I got 1 minute left according to this. Oh, your information can be sold to other people. So be very, very careful. Okay, you guys, that's going to wrap it up at this point. As always, we appreciate you listening to us. Do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until next week, we want you to be safe out there. Jamal, Zayla, sign off.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. Enjoy your evening.
All right.
Absolutely. Zayla, stay safe out there.
Take care. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.